everybody. Welcome to part two. Woo! Part two of Throwing It All Away. We are back. We are ready to get into it. We are actually gonna get right into it. We're gonna start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Don't you fucking say zero.
It's not. It's not. It's actually okay. A good amount.
Okay, all right. Okay, how many we got here?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Shoo-ba-derba-derba. All right.
I got a little sweaty in there. Ooh.
I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. Okay, all right. The dad. The little girl's dad.
No.
Herb. Fuck! What? Oh, my God. The HR lady.
Yes.
Yeah, that was that's a softball. The guy who's stalking April about the kidney.
Yes, the kidney freak.
Fucking the kidney gate 2020, whatever kidney this episode bandit. Came out. Let's see here. The girl, Alyssa.
Yes.
Okay. The little kid with jaundice.
No.
His mom.
Yes.
Okay. What am I at? 3?
No, you're at 4.
I am at 4?
Mm-hmm.
The girl, the mom, the HR lady, that's 3. Who else did I say?
The kidney bandit.
Kidney bandit, that's right. 5th one. Let's see. I can do this. I can do this. Let me look at my notes. Is it the wife of the Donald Mercer, the lady who was like, I'm here for Donald Mercer?
No, it is a bummer. It is a small one. It's a tricky one.
Okay, hold on. I can do this. It's the I don't know that I can do this. I don't have enough time to go through all of my notes here and find it. I don't know. I'm going to give up.
It's the social worker.
Social worker? Was there a social worker?
Yeah, the one who comes to pick up the baby.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Forgive me. It was 5:30 in the morning. Didn't even remember that happened.
Yeah. Okay. So Jeffrey Arend plays Tom, the kidney bandit, and he is in one episode of Private Practice. Allison Reed plays Anne, the HR lady. She's in one episode of Station 19 and one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Charlotte White plays Alyssa. She was in one episode of Private Practice. Lisa Jeffrey played Kim Cole, who is the mom of the yellow child. And she was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And then Lydia Castro played Marilyn, who's the social worker. And she was in one episode of Private Practice. And Carmen has a mouthful of food, but that was all 5.
I'm good. That was great. That's amazing. Eating? Buffalo chicken wrap.
I was gonna ask if that's what that was. Did your wife prepare that for you?
She sure did.
You have it so easy.
Well, you know, we both bring a lot to this relationship. She makes me buffalo chicken wraps, and I sit out at 5:30 in the morning trying to get Pokemon cards. So we both, it's equal. It's
This is what I was gonna say about the shoes earlier.
Yeah, you didn't bring that up.
It's just too many pairs of shoes to have that you've never worn.
I disagree.
I don't know if Carmen specified this in the story earlier. He sold 16 pairs of shoes.
I did specify.
That he had never worn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
It's called a collection. It's called a hobby.
But they serve a purpose. Look at all
the things in your
collect
in your
something
screen here.
That serves no purpose. Like what do your you Pokemon mean? Cards. That's a collectible. It takes up minimal room and it serves no purpose.
Okay, what about coin collecting? Coins are just financial means.
None of us do that.
I collect coins. I shouldn't say.
You collect money and then you spend it on Pokemon cards.
Okay, your yelling is literally breaking people's eardrums right now. I actually have a coin collection, but I've not acquired new coins in my adulthood. They're all from either my dad or like as a child, I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll buy a dollar.
Yeah, it's probably just like a quarter that you found on the ground. And you were like, neat, I'm a child and quarters are amazing, which was true for a while. Especially when they redid the quarters. Man, do you remember that?
Oh, man, I have a framed picture of all of the quarters.
Do you have all 50?
I got all 50, absolutely.
I had a little like fold-out book.
Yeah.
That was the map of the U.S. state, and you could put a quarter in each state.
You know, I also
mean,
used
I still
to collect...
look at every quarter I get. I'm like, which one is this?
Oh, yeah. What state are you from? Actually, there's only two
Where
mints.
Where do you
I
hail
think it's,
from?
I think it's Pennsylvania and Delaware are the two mints that they mm-hmm. have in the country. But what state do you represent? Who are you a representative yes. of
what,
today?
What fun little pictures on this.
And there was a period of my life where I collected $2 bills. I thought that was very cool.
$2 bills are fun.
Yeah.
Because it's like, but then, you know, push comes to shove, you're going to spend it. It's worth
$2. I have a whole, like, I've got like probably 20 or 30 $2 bills somewhere around here that are just waiting to be spent on Pokemon cards.
I was about to say, push comes to shove, you're going to buy something with it.
What I will say is I recognize that I can't have multiple hobbies at the same time. And the nice thing about the hobbies of shoes is they were a financial vessel that allowed me to spend money on Pokemon cards in a way. And I put some money away for the show that we're going to in a couple of weeks. And I am very happy about the things that I'm getting to buy, which is great. The thing that I think is also important to note is the most of them have appreciated in value, so they were at least holding money at a good rate and increased. Pokemon cards also are a increased value as long as I can take care of them and keep them from, mm-hmm. you know, a house fire, which would be
right.
devastating right. towards cardboard.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways.
That, I just think it's a lot of shoes to have that you... I don't have a single pair of shoes that I've never worn.
Well, that is that you're not collecting shoes as a hobby.
Right. I'm collecting them as a piece of clothing that I wear on a regular basis.
And other shoes that I've worn were worn with the intention of wearing.
Yeah. It's just a lot of shoes.
Can I also tell you, I don't think my sister listens to this podcast, but you know how my sister triggers me sometimes?
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah. So she commented on my status this morning and mm-hmm. she had said, where is it? She had said, why do you have shoes you've never worn? Which, okay, valid question as I'm learning here in this moment. But I go, it's called a collection. 3 smiley laugh faces or cry laughing faces, but I'm trading them to buy Pokemon cards, basically, LOL. And she said, I saw that. I just can't believe you have shoes you've never worn. I just can't fathom having things I don't use. I'm truly just like, wow, ha ha. And at this point, I'm like, I'm not triggered. I'm like, oh, okay, ha ha ha, blah, blah, blah. But I respond, and I was like, you don't use a collection. You appreciate it. The utility of something is irrelevant when it's a collection. And then she responds, I'm pretty sure that's called hoarding. And at this point, now I'm triggered. So I send her the definition of hoarding, which is... a behavioral disorder characterized by the persistent difficulty of discarding or parting with possessions, regardless of their actual value, leading to extreme clutter that compromises living spaces. Thank you very much. And then I have the definition of collecting, but I specifically related it to a hobby because it was talking about like hunting and gathering at one point in the definition, which is not this. But collecting as a hobby is the purposeful, organized, and sustained acquisition, curation, and preservation of items that share a common theme, interest, or aesthetic value. And I respond full sass and say, sounds like your dictionary needs to be dusted off. That felt a bit rude for no reason so early in the morning, Sam.
No response.
No, she responded.
Oh, good.
And she goes, I understand the definitions. You don't understand the concept of teasing. And I was like, well, I'm sorry. It felt pointed if I misread that. Genuinely, I'm sorry. And she's like, I'm just surprised you got so defensive. Like, damn, I don't want to talk about the shoes again. Good luck selling them.
You should have responded, I've already sold them.
But like, don't, if you're going to tease someone, throw an LOL, throw a laugh emoji, do something. Don't say, I'm pretty sure that's just called hoarding. Bitch, the fuck is happening here?
Also, Joe from Orlando actually left a funny comment.
Joe did leave a funny comment on my Facebook. He goes, what are you just selling the left shoes? Joe, that was funny. Very funny. I even think I said, good I wrote one. That. That was very funny. I wrote it in my diary later that night. Goodness. Anyways, we're going to do something a little bit different today because we're a little bit short on time. I'm just going to go ahead and do a capitalism break right here so that we don't stop anything later on. So capitalism, take some time, and then we're going to plow through the rest of this episode, and we'll get back to it from there. Be right back. And we are back. I want you to know that I really wanted to make a plowing joke, but I decided not to.
Thank you so much for not doing that. Okay, so let's chat about this baby. There is a baby in a box. And this is like almost a 1-year-old baby. This is an 8-month-old, yeah, 9-month-old
like
baby.
That's like a voting-aged adult human
that
baby.
That person's in retirement. All right. This is an old guy. So he's like 8 months old. They just left him in a box by the dumpster, which is hateful and rude. And about several other really horrible things. And illegal.
Yeah.
And terrible.
Inhumane, and unethical,
jail,
illegal, all of it. Yeah.
So essentially, this baby has had heart surgery.
The poor way they found that baby, like Steph and Joe are talking. Joe brings Steph apology coffee.
Which was needed and good.
I feel like my sister needs to bring me apology coffee. But anyways, Steph like kicks the box and all of a sudden the baby starts crying. That's crazy.
Yeah. And they're like, oh shit. That baby was just in there vibing, taking a napsy, I hope. So this baby has had heart surgery already and I guess needs more. So at some point the parents were like, eh, I don't want this baby. Again, horrendous and terrible and awful and rude. So they are like trying to find out who the baby is. The baby was not a patient there before, but they can clearly like go back in and figure out, like Christina basically like looks at the heart to figure out what has been done and what needs to be done in the future. She also uses this opportunity to kind of like reground Shane in his passion for doctoring and like what matters with like doctoring and patient care. And like, it doesn't matter that you've had this thing happen and it doesn't matter that, you know, things went awry and I was, you know, a part of that, because I can also be a part of bringing you back to like what you like, the foundation.
And I'm glad Weber forces her to get to that point.
Yeah. Because again, her being like, you can't be on my service is affecting the education. I'm like, these people are not understanding the issue at hand. Like, the HR complaint is don't affect people's education because you slept with them. And then they just keep trying to do that. But
he also says in that same context, when he's like really bossing her around, she's like, I don't think the chief wants that. And he's like, first off, woman, I am the chief. I always have been the chief and I always will be the chief. Mm-hmm. Okay, Weber.
Yeah. So then I like that he had Christina do it because of who she is as a person. She can really separate herself from the relationship that they had outside of the work and be like, that was inappropriate. I shouldn't have done that. I don't want you to feel compromised. And also, these are the things that you need to remember as far as like, you're a good doctor. And like, you have saved up another baby's life before and you're saving this baby's life now. And so I think it is important that it is Christina, because she definitely was like tangled up in everything that went down with Alex's dad. So I did really appreciate that. And then when the social worker comes and Christina says, put Shane's name on the file so that his adopted parents, you can talk them through any questions. And then in 10 years, when he has questions, you can talk to him about it. I thought that was good because Shane is like, oh, in 10 years, I don't even know if I'll be a doctor. And she says, you fucking better be.
Yeah. The ROI on your college loans alone dictate that you must be a doctor.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. It's a really good arc. I think it gives Christina the chance to clean up the mess that she had part in making, like you said. And there's a couple of cool things that happen in it. I think Christina, she at one point mentions like whatever's going on, the heart surgeries they did, like terrible, terrible garbage. It's mm-hmm. a puzzle. No idea what the fuck is going
Clearly
on.
Clearly was not done there.
And it's an interesting concept of the doctors trying to fix something that they have no context over because mm-hmm. there's no parent or record. There's no medical
record.
Yeah,
it's like solving it from like backwards.
Yeah, yeah. So really cool scene. There's that moment where he talks about the not being a doctor in 10 years, where she's kind of like asking him some questions and they really talk through it. And, you know, it's a good teaching scene in general overall for Christina.
Yeah, I agree. Really good teaching episode for Christina. There's actually a couple things I feel like that I had written down that she had said to him. But I also really liked when she was talking to Weber. And oh no, the things I wrote down that she said was when she was talking to Owen. Owen,
which sucks,
stays the worst in this episode. So yes, also like at some point Meredith comes to Christina and is like, Emma came and got a key to the trailer because her and Owen be splitting up. My God, people will not stop calling me. Like, leave me alone. Just kidding.
I'm still getting so many spam calls. I had to put my shit on Do Not Disturb.
Yeah, these are work related, but it's fine. They can leave me a message. So, what was I talking about? Okay, so Meredith's like, I'm gossiping. It's gossiping. She says, fine. Okay. And she says, Owen and Emma split up. I don't know why, but it seemed like it was Owen's idea. And Christina is stunned beyond words. And Meredith goes, I cannot tell if you're happy or sad. And she goes, I also cannot. So then later, Christina goes to Owen to give him an update on the baby and is also like, hey, why are you so dumb? And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not so dumb. And she goes, well, you broke up with Emma. And he's like, well, yeah. And she goes, because you're dumb? And he says, no. And then they go back and forth. And then he's like, do you just feel bad about what happened in the trailer? And she's like, I don't like the direction that this is taking. I'm going to remove myself from this narrative. Thank you so much. But it's some back and forth. And then what really ticks me off is at the very end, when he's like, you just want me to marry her so she can give me what I want so you don't have to feel guilty anymore. Excuse me? Why should she feel guilty?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that he says in the end there.
I don't like this man.
What does he say? Do you want to see me happy or do you want to see me squared away? Who the what?
I want to see you not bothering me anymore.
Yeah, and he's like trying to, even leading up to that, he's like trying to make it weirdly, awkwardly flirty. Like, yeah. Oh, how about you tell me and then I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get really close to you and have an uncomfortably close conversation with you. Yeah. Because we're just going to end up having sex again anyways, right? Like, it's weird. I don't like it.
Yeah, it would be great if they could just never speak again.
To each other.
I would be into that. Yeah. Right. But alas, they continue. The horrors persist. So,
yeah, it's just overall icky. And Owen and Derek both on neither of their sides this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, when he says, like, oh, you feel guilty for not giving me what I want. Why? Why would she feel guilty? Like, she was upfront with that. Like, stop trying to make her feel ways she doesn't feel. Ooh, I hate this man so much.
Yeah. Also, like, yes, Owen, you are dumb for dumping Emma.
Yes.
It is dumb. You're dumb.
Yes, you say, I want X, Y, and Z. You find X, Y, and Z. And now you also want A, B, C, L, M, N, O, P. Move the goalpost every time. It's still not going to be Christina. Because she doesn't want what you want. It doesn't make sense. Move on. Mm-hmm. Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It is
dumb.
Makes me irate. Okay, so anything else about Christina and Owen or Shane or any of that?
My thing with Owen and Christina is no. My thing with Christina and Shane is also no. And the thing with the baby is, yay, I'm glad that was actually a pretty good Christina and Shane storyline in general. Yeah. And it looks like the baby is going to live a long, healthy life, which is great.
I liked when she was talking with Arizona at the end, and Arizona's like, that kid's so lucky. Like, if they hadn't gone out there and, like, found him, he would have just died. And now he gets to live, like, just a normal life because they found him and you saved him. And that's, like, how lucky, which is so true.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Some would say, look around.
Look around.
At how lucky we are.
To be alive right now. It would be fine, though, if history stopped happening all around me. I don't need every single day to be one for the history books.
Although history does need
possible way.
History does need to keep having its eyes on you and me. So
that is true. Okay. So let's talk about Alex. There is some repercussions from Alex telling everyone to F off last episode.
Which makes sense.
Yes. And Owen says, it was just going to be a slap on the wrist, but you walked in and gave the board the middle finger. So, like, we have to suspend you from surgery. But to Alex's point, he's like, you're going to let this stupid thing affect patient care? Because it should not, which I agree with. It should not. But it is what it is. And then he's like, Joe, you have to come off peds, which this I kind of understand because we've seen this storyline multiple times before where they're like, you are a resident, you cannot pick a like a service yet. You need to have a well-rounded education. This is a conversation that I feel like has happened with every intern class.
Yeah, there's some precedent at least for
yeah,
this one.
So that yeah. one, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, yeah, you have interest in peds, that's fine, but you still have to see everything else and then, you know, pursue peds when that time comes. Obviously it does complicate things with the HR complaint and like the relationship status. So, then it calls into question, okay, is this like negatively impacting people's education in the reverse way? But I think because she's still in her residency, the argument of like, you have to be on multiple services to be well-rounded is still valid, in my opinion.
Yeah. We do get some pretty funny Alex quotes though. And I think this also reaffirms his place and Meredith's place in their relationships with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Alex is up talking to Meredith and, you know, it's about the suspension. And he says, you bang a coworker and get a house and two kids and I do it and I get suspended. Mm-hmm. And Meredith is like, yeah, yeah, sure. Like, I'll do whatever I can to help. And Alex just says, well, yeah, you're a hypocrite and you suck. And they walk away. And it's like, it's, you know, jabbing. It's like, you know, it's a fun joke. Like, they're having a good time. And when they're at the end, so the kid who has jaundice, basically they come up with a way to use
his appendix
to fix the part of his, to create the hole in the stomach, to make the stoma that they're talking through.
To solve the issue.
Yeah. And, you know, when Meredith doesn't tell Alex, he like, she wants to protect him from the betrayal and the hypocrisy. But Owen says, no, I will make you the problem here.
Yes.
And then Alex sees her in the middle of the surgery and she's like, oh, I'm caught. he's clearly okay, but it's, you know, just adding fuel to the fire because Owen sucks. And I don't really remember where I was going with that surgery, but the end resolution, Meredith, actually, I really like that she does go to bat and she gets, what is it called? The love contract or some
shit. Which is a dumb name.
Yeah. I've heard in different companies called the Cupid contract. Mm-hmm. Make it alliteration friendly, guys. It's not that hard.
Just make it a declaration of a relationship. Like, it doesn't have to be cutesy. When you make it cutesy, you make it weird.
No, I love make it a Cupid contract, a cuddle contract.
That's way worse.
A cuddle confession. Canoodle confession.
So yeah, that is, and I understand Alex is like, I can't sign this. Like, she's going to freak out if I bring this to her because I proposed and she didn't want that and all this stuff. I'm like, in my opinion, Meredith does not have a big enough reaction to that revelation. And he's like, I don't want to scare her off, which I understand. And he of course brings up Izzy. So that's when Meredith knows like, okay, bitch, like it's literally fine. This is not Izzy. Just sign this and everything is fixed, basically.
I hadn't thought about that until now. You said that Meredith didn't react big enough. You're right.
I agree.
I didn't even think about that. It didn't occur to me that
it's
she didn't
way
know.
Too casual. She's like, well, crazy that you would propose to someone. How wild.
When your dad is dying at the wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's fun stuff. And so then...
And every time Joe and Alex get close to each other, Owen just like happens to walk over and Alex is like, what did your alarm go off? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. And then what else? Let me look. Alex is just having a rough one and he's being hostile, not to like a heinous point, but I feel like he cops appropriate attitude when necessary, mostly with Owen because everyone should. Who else was copping attitude? Steph, which was appropriate, and also Joe. Valid. Meredith copped a little bit of attitude with Derek. Valid. Callie copping attitude with Derek. Valid.
I think all the attitude in this episode was very justified.
Yeah. Yeah. I like I say it again. I appreciated that Joe apologized to Steph. And then it tells Stephanie to nut punch Jackson, which she does not, but she does plow down Arizona with a gurney and then plows Jackson with a gurney again, which is incredible.
Neither of them were intentional though.
Attending bowling, as they say. And then, Nicole says, try and get Kepner, but then she hits Jackson. Nicole's like, that works too.
Well, speaking of Kepner.
Yes.
We get the revelation that Matthew quit his job.
Yep. Which is worthy of an HR complaint, I feel. I mean, it's a little different. I don't super know how it works as like an EMS first responder directly to the hospital. Or if maybe you could just like move to another county perchance. And then like...
Great use of perchance, by the way.
Thank you. And then just maybe not see that person, because I feel like the argument of I don't want to be in the same environment with this person is fair. But to have to fully give up your career, I'm like, yikes, that's... feels like a bummer.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
That would be my response to that.
And they both have... So with regard to Steph and Jackson and April and Matthew and all that, there's this dialogue back and forth where Jackson's really trying to apologize to Steph. April's really trying to apologize to Matthew, which feels like the cheating conversation that you and I have had before. You're just... the apology's just for you at that point. Just cut.
Just leave me be. Let me be. Let me be mad. Let me be pissed.
Yeah, yeah. Leave them alone. Cut bait. That's what I was going to say. And just let them be. And Jackson is like in a room later with Steph, and he does kind of get the chance to apologize. But she's like, dude, I nothing you. You just exist. I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of this bullshit. I'm moving on. And I really like that scene because it wasn't intentional. She does hit him in the leg with a gurney, whatever. But that scene where... So he gets hit. Weber, seeing him, says, Steph, go away. They close the curtain and it immediately opens up and April's there and she's like, oh God. Like,
yeah.
So and funny.
April's like, you don't think she did that on purpose, right? And Jackson's like, probably not.
Maybe. But
it's okay if she did.
If it was, it's a big old cover up and it's very well done.
And April's like, we just have to apologize. And I'm like, again, to your point, you don't. You want to. It doesn't matter. It's not changing the insane thing that you've done. So maybe just let it go.
Yeah.
You default win, but in winning, you have hurt a lot of people. So maybe you're just going to have to accept that you don't get everything you want in this scenario. And if what you want is apologizing, big fat bummer.
Yeah.
And then... meanwhile, April's being stalked by this kidney guy, which I don't super understand this tie into this story. Like, this guy comes in from a car accident. He's declared brain dead. Joe's assigned to make sure, you know, he's kept quote unquote alive until they do his organ recovery in like 6 hours or whatever the time frame attached to it is. And, his friend is there and he's like, well, I gave him my kidney 4 months ago. So if you could give that back, that would be superb. And they're like, no, but that man does not accept that answer.
He's clearly going through all 7 stages of the grief, correct. The grief process.
And then some. He's also adding more stages. Kidney retrieval.
Yeah. Yeah. What I will say very early on, I pegged this as he's going through denial. Right.
He can't accept this. He like wants, he's like, you died. How dare you die? I was supposed to save you. Blah, blah, blah.
He went back on our deal by dying, that asshole.
Yeah.
And let me also say, when April was doing chest compressions on that guy and the blood is just oozing out of the brain, it's not going to end well.
Yeah. It felt, unfortunately, like it was clear from the get-go. Obviously they're doing their doctorly duty to do their best, so they can tell them that everything possible was done. It is such a bummer that he was an organ donor and he does not make it to organ donation. Like, that sucks for all those people who were waiting on those organs. It's a bummer. And I just didn't feel super like this particular plot point tied in really super well with all the others. This was kind of a weird one for me.
There was no mirror that I really felt.
I guess other than denial. Let it go. I don't. So I don't know. Was there anything
The only thing I can think of is, they went back on a deal. They went back on their word by doing X, Y, and Z. Okay, well, Jackson and April, I guess, both went back on their words to their significant others, and it led to them getting married and breaking hearts along the way with, you know, reckless abandon. Who knows?
Or just, like, let go of the fact that you want to apologize because you can't. It's done. You've done what you've done. You can't take it back, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I didn't feel like that one was as clear as everything else. I feel like ties together really nicely. But yeah, was there anything else? I feel like we've talked through most things.
Yeah, there's a couple things I have. So one, a lot of fist bumps in this episode. Yeah. Did you get that vibe too? A lot of, probably because the President Barack Obama was in this episode, which is great. Bring more power to the fist bumps. There was one scene when Alex walks in after the kid has his surgery and is like, wow, you don't look like a basketball anymore. Fist bump. And there is, let's see, where else on here? That scene with Meredith and Alex was good. I do love that we talked about Alex bringing it back to Izzy. There's clearly some trauma that he's dealing with. Alex has had a rough go of, like, when you look at the whole show in consideration, he's had a rough go. Could use some therapy. We'll give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt on this one. And, back to the Arizona and Callie and Leah storyline. Arizona tells Callie about the HR thing. She then goes to Leah and is like, hey, this is what's up. And still uses that moment to teach Leah. And I really liked that.
Yeah.
So I think it does validate the healing journey that Arizona has gone through and is doing. I wanted to call that out. With the storyline of, the guy kept yelling, the kidney stalker, it's the principal, I should have it back. Blah, 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 blah. They both fake that page and then they walk away. That was funny. Yeah. I do feel a lot of kindred spirit on that because Steve has been my best friend since the end of eighth grade and they've been best friends since seventh grade. So there was a lot of, you know, emotions there. And, at that moment after Steph knocks Jackson with the gurney, all of the people in the hospital are like joking at her and like clapping for her.
Yes. Good job. Well done.
Very funny. Let's see other notes here. I think that's, I'm like looking through. That's all I got.
Okay, we got some Discord questions we're going to burn through real
quick. Let's do it.
How do you feel about the conflict between Callie and Arizona in this episode, especially with their past trauma clearly bleeding into their medical decisions? Do you think either of them is wrong? Do you think it's possible to fully separate personal trauma from patient care? I think it doesn't necessarily need to be separated from patient care because you can offer experience that like can back up, like, look, it is possible. You're not going to do this thing and then just be like laid up in bed, which is currently the situation.
Yeah. I think that there's a difference between letting your personal life and your personal experiences guide your decision as opposed to your personal vendettas creating a situation where you're a slave to the situation. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference there. I love stories and I love communicating stories to people to illustrate relative points. But if Jessica and I got into a fight and then I went to work and said, I'm in a fight with my wife, I'm going to fire you. That's a problem.
Right.
You know?
Well, if she worked with you, it wouldn't be a problem.
Well, yeah.
You could do it at work and then it would be mirrored by the firing of the person. So.
Yeah. As long as we had sex at work and,
right.
I was her boss. Yeah. Or she's my boss, either one, you know?
Yeah.
But
as long as there's a power dynamic at play.
As long as I was pressured into it.
And there's no HR, which would be difficult since she's HR.
Yeah. We need to get her a new job. So I don't remember all the other stuff of that question.
Lot of the other stuff we had kind of talked through already. So.
But yeah, in general, man, just don't let there be power dynamics. And also you can make decisions where your personal life is separate, but like you don't have to.
Yeah, it's fine to take your lived experience as truth.
As experience.
Yes. Do you think Christine is pushing Shane to be great or pushing him too far?
I think to be great.
Yeah, I think she's really good at reading like where he's at on like mentally and then also like just in his career journey. And he's also like being more vulnerable with her, where he's saying like, I don't know if I'm going to be a doctor. And she's like really good at grounding him in like, this is why you're in medicine. This is what you're good at. Like, look at what you can do. And so I think at this point, she's doing a really good job with her teaching.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. I also think if he was being pushed too far, it would have felt more icky. But I think I came away from that interaction and the whole baby storyline feeling happy about Shane's progress and where he's headed.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, let us not forget, he still has not told anyone that he sent Heather to the basement.
Yeah, I feel like there's an implication that he did after the breakdown. Because when he's like hallucinating that on the table is Heather, and he says something about like, this is my fault, like I made her. There was something said. And so I kind of felt like the implication was that in that breakdown, it was revealed.
Really? But I didn't have that implication at all.
Yeah.
I know there's an implication that there's a guilt, but not mm-hmm. a explanation of what that yeah. guilt entails. Anyways, I digress. What's the next question?
What case made you more emotional, kidney guy or double amputation? Double amputation.
Double amputation.
Because of the parent aspect, honestly, that's the only thing.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Do you think Joe and Alex's punishments were fair? Yes. Ish.
Yeah. It's fair, but it's not. It's fair in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. It's not fair in practical use because they're in a relationship.
And also because there's a patient involved. And I'm like, it's not fair that this patient's care is now like potentially like altered.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then updated Derek opinion. Is it still worth it for Barack, including the Cali of it all?
It's becoming more problematic.
Mm-hmm.
For Barack, it's worth it. For Trump, absolutely not. For Biden, I think we've teetered.
Mm-hmm.
We've teetered into it's not even worth it for Joe Biden.
Yeah, well, a lot of things aren't. I'll be honest. I don't have.
Yeah,
I
mean, totally. I'd still vote for him right now over Donald Trump.
That's accurate. Okay, well, rate it.
Yeah. I'm going to give this one like a 3.99. It's like
mine's a 4. So we're still really very consistent. I think a lot of it was done really well. Like I liked the way they weaved the Cali and Arizona thing into everything and then really tied that so pretty at the bow. This kidney guy and the Jackson and April just kind of felt like tacked on a little bit. The HR complaint overall seeping throughout the hospital and affecting a lot of people and having a big ripple effect, I think is really well done. Yeah, what were your thoughts?
I'll copy and paste all of those thoughts. The only thing I would add is the reveal that the complaint was against Cali mm-hmm. and then no one defending Cali really did not sit well with me because of the timeline that
is being presented. The question on like something that we've seen but is not like being presented as how we saw it is confusing.
Yes. So hopefully more like they explore and flesh that out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think prediction wise, let's just speed run. Derek and Meredith.
Oh yeah. And you know, they have some good moments too. Just really quick, I want to call out that there was a scene where they both were like kind of just talking back and forth and having a funny time about that. And she's like, it's like you know, take your ball and or that was the most high school rejection that I've ever seen or blowing off. And, you know, it's cool to see their dynamic, even in the midst of Derek getting what he wants. Meredith is getting what she wants. Meredith and Christina are in a good spot again, which I like to see. But still we have kind of that, you know, goofy dynamic with Meredith and Derek in the heart of all of it. So they're good. I'm still happy for them. Derek's going to keep doing his project. Meredith is going to figure out what's going on with the bioengineers and she's going to keep going with her portal veins. It's going to be good. I'm not worried at all about them right now, which is probably where Shonda wants me because that's when they kill Derek in a Porsche accident.
Right in the eye.
Yeah. Right in the eye. But I feel good right now with where they're at. My only prediction is, I guess, I want to see them happy. I don't want to see anything happen to them. Give them 6 episodes of peace.
Mm-hmm. Callie in Arizona.
I know. I think I've been saying that they're good. I think I can officially say they're good. This was the turning point. I predict next episode, Arizona is going to buy Callie a ring because Callie deserves a ring.
Christina Owen.
Fuck them. I know that I've said I don't care. Right now, it's just pissing me off.
Yeah.
It's no, just, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, you know, we go back to the Ask Carmen Anything episode, what would make me stop watching Grey's? If they get Christina and Owen married again, I might stop watching this TV show. So, I don't know. I will make a prediction about Owen, though. Owen is not going to be chief by the end of this season. I think the Weber offhanded comment, he's going to be chief before the end of this season.
Okay.
That's a prediction on both of them.
Okay. Joe and Alex?
I think that they're going to ultimately be fine, but they're going to spend the next 2 episodes being very awkward about the love contract. And ultimately, Joe's going to sign it, but I think it's going to be kind of a point of contention for 2 straight episodes after this.
Okay. Are there any other people or things you want to predict?
I predict that next episode, Arizona busts out the Heelys at least 2x.
Okay. I love that.
That's all okay. I got. Well, I hear your kids are home.
Yeah, so everyone's arriving, and I do have to get on a work call, unfortunately, that has been double booked. So I'm going to go. Hello, who's behind me? Someone, I don't know. So many options.
It's a ghost door.
Okay, well, thank you all so much for listening. We hope you had fun with this one. We had fun. I love a daytime recording. Thank you all again for sending Carmen and Jessica all your support and love and well wishes. And we're just going to keep sending those right from your brains and from our hearts.
And your genitals, please. All of you send the love
from
your genitals.
And all your other parts. So
that was good.
Thanks.
Sending
your
love
wife
from
actually
all my hearts.
Wrote that on our wedding guest book. We love you with our hearts and all our other parts. That's how
did I write
song.
Have lots no. of sex?
You wrote that in the card.
Okay, good, 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 good.
So yes, thank you all. We love you so much for all the support, both here and personally. We feel it and we love it and we love our community. And you can go to graysacademypod.com and get our Patreon and our socials and our merch and find all the things and make sure you follow and subscribe and review and love us forever because we love you forever. And remember the most if you see Carmen walking down the street.
No spoilies! We appreciate you all so much and we will see you all in the next one.